right. She is Superwoman. It is a Wednesday, Woman Crush Wednesday indeed. I'm talking about the beautiful Claudette Segamani. She's in the building, everybody. Claudette is a Global Indian Organization SA president. She's an executive vice president of the SA Women Fort. And she's a multiple business owner, entrepreneur, and keynote speaker. She is the director of Kaya Litis and SA Legacy and former vice president of the Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Claudette Segamani. How are you, Claudette? Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Carol.
I know it's overdue. We keep seeing each other at events and stuff, and I'm like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And we're finally doing this.
Finally.
You wear so many hats.
Yeah.
So many hats. And I guess let's start at the beginning of who Claudette is.
Okay.
Where are you from? And how did you get into this business space? Because I know you do a lot of business stuff, but you also have a very big charitable heart and do a lot of work in that space as well. And for the Indian community of Durban as well, you have a big hat that you wear there. Yeah. So let's start at the beginning.
Okay, the beginning, how the journey started. I have three sons, two of whom became wheelchair bound at an early age, 13 and 10. Mm. And the journey of me being self-employed, that's how it started. Mm. I come from a unionized environment and unionized background. And I found it very difficult to not be in the presence of my kids because they were able-bodied and they suddenly stopped walking. Mm. And it was terrible at that time where I had to find out what muscular dystrophy was all about and just... You know, the insurmountable pain led me to become self-employed. Right. And my journey started in 2008 in the self-employed environment. And I specialize in IR and HR. Mm. And I just got into the Durban Chamber of Commerce as the IR-HR specialist.
Right.
And I became a council member, board member. And then I got into the... SMME space.
Right.
I became chairperson of SMME and I also became chairperson of the mentorship program for BATSA, British American Tobacco and the Durban Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
It was, I would say it was, I didn't know what SMME businesses per se was.
Right.
And
I
got myself in it and I found myself in that space and I think it just became a journey. 2010, I became the SMME chairperson of Durban Chamber's SMMEs.
Yeah.
And the rest became history, as they say.
Yeah.
I made my name through Show Me the Money, Claudette Segamani.
Yes.
And you know, nobody knew Claudette Segamani was a business leader. All they knew was Claudette Segamani was from a unionized environment and all of that kind of thing. They didn't know this Claudette Segamani was going to be a phenomenal business leader and a powerhouse to be reckoned with much later. Right. But it's only because of my children. They propelled me for greatness. They, you know, everyone says it's their parents and everything. For me, it was my kids. Mm. My sons, Laurent, Tiran, and Clivad. Tiran and Clivad have since passed on. And I'm sure you know about my pain with the boys.
Yes.
Losing them was the most difficult time for me. It was the most challenging and... You know, if ever anyone loses two children, one child, the pain and the loss of that is just insurmountable. You cannot, I wear a smile every day. And there's never been a day where you know me.
Yeah, you know me. You're not smiling.
You know me on a personal level. And I smile through my pain and adversity. I've known, I wear it on my sleeve And I know my sons are now smiling down at me because of all the avenues I've created. I've created Kailitis because of my sons. Whilst Kilorad was alive, I created Kailitis. Kailitis is a company that's for empowerment of youth and women. I felt the journey to give back to the community. And what better way than to do that in terms of skills development, entrepreneurial development, and youth empowerment? I've just come through the youth, the KZN Youth Business Awards. Mm. I'm big on giving back to the community in terms of rural and township.
Yeah.
Whilst I was the chamber of Durban Chamber of Commerce, I took the chamber to the townships. You'll find many pictures of me in the various Maxes and all the other Iadini and all of that going in there into these areas because they don't have access to opportunities. They don't have access to markets. They don't have somebody like me that will go there and speak about business. And that's what it is to be a business leader.
Yeah. And I think it's so important. We live in a world now where it's no longer about finding a job.
Yes.
The generation we're raising now are creating jobs. We're
exactly.
in a space where technology is moving so rapidly. And I'm in a space now where that if my son finishes school, for example, and says, "Mom, I want to become an entrepreneur."
Yeah.
Look, the generation of my mom would have been absolutely not, you're going to varsity. But
yes.
with this generation, you can say absolutely and empower them to see that journey
yes.
through. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, I wish schools could do a curriculum that speaks to that. I wish I'm able to create a legacy where I leave this legacy where it says it's a lasting legacy, where my son Laurent says my mom has created something where she's empowered women, she's empowered youth. I mean, the KZN Youth Awards is the fourth consecutive year that I'm the judge, and we do a lot of mentorship, and we take business leaders, young business entrepreneurs, to in the next year where we just create opportunities, access to finance, procurement to spend, see how they can match the right mentee, the mentor with the right mentee.
Yeah.
So that's how that's what it is about.
Yeah, I love that. Look, we're going to chat more.
Yeah.
I do want to touch on, you know, your sons being born able-bodied to then being wheelchair-bound and then to losing two of the three children that you have. And we're going into the festive season. It's a time of family. It's a time of you know, spending time together. And what advice you have for someone who's going to spend their first Christmas without their child or the first Christmas without a mom, without a dad, without a family member? I'd really love to hear how you are navigating that so that someone who's struggling with that right now can go into this festive season that's full of family and love and togetherness and navigate it quite confidently. So we're going to chat to you more about that. We're going to take a short break. We're here with Claudette Sigamani. If you have a question, 061-792-9495.
Carol Ofori, KZN's number one hit music station, East Coast Radio.
She's a multiple business owner, entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and so much more. She's the director at Kayalitis, as well as SA Legacy, and former vice president of the Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So Claudette, we were chatting off air specifically around, you know, you are this powerhouse of a businesswoman, but it has come with many, many challenges, the journey that you've walked. And one journey a lot of people don't know about is the journey of the loss of your kids. So you're a mom, a single mom
yes.
to three children.
Yes.
Your eldest is in Cape Town, and your middle and your little baby are no longer with us.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about how you navigated that as a mom, a single mom? You got a house of like four people, and now you're down to
myself.
Well, yourself, because your son's in Cape Town.
Yes.
Talk to me about
that. Okay, so you know, when I started my conversation with you off here, and I spoke to you, and I said to you, Carol, you know, losing the boys were the most painful journey I've ever had to go through, and I've ever endured. I think, when I say this, nobody knows the pain of losing a child until you've lost a child. But my children were able-bodied.
Yes.
And they were born able-bodied.
And what happened, if you don't mind sharing?
And they progressively stopped walking. Tehran, when he was about eight, he was preparing for the junior championships of ballet and modern jazz and dancing. And he would always be falling. And his instructor told me, he said, "I don't know what's wrong, why your child is always falling." Mm. And I thought he was, you know, a very strong, a child that had beautiful calves. I mean, in my culture, in the Indian community, to have a young little son that has big calves and well, you know, well defined, it was a major thing. And I thought, yeah, this child was not, there could never be anything wrong with him. And when we went to the pediatrician said there was nothing wrong with him. I said, "Please help me do some tests on him because I don't know why he's falling. He's in 3 weeks' time, he's his junior champions, and we have to be getting ready for that." And lo and behold, I found out about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And when I found out about it, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it entailed. I only knew it was the worst type. There were 24 Duchenne I found out about, and they had Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is the worst. And where they get progressively worse and they pass on from age 15 to 18. So here's this young woman. I'm only 28 years old, finding out that my sons have Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And
knowing you found out both of them at the same time had the...
No. I found it was a progressive thing. I found out in May that year that Tron had Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And in August that same year, I found out about Clarad having Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So you must remember the boys are a year apart. And it was, imagine you're a young, impressionable mother. You have three sons, two of which now are diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And there's no history in the family with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. You're grateful that you have your husband. At that time, it was my husband. Mm-hmm. Then he became my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. I think that's for another day, another topic. But as being a single parent, I can tell you it was difficult. I have had the worst journey ever. I had to pick up the pieces, navigate through that, take care of the boys, find special school that could cater for them, put them in the schools. But I made sure that they had a sound education. But it was a process. And then the boys progressively stopped walking. And then it became wheelchair bound. And imagine...
From being a dancer.
Yes, and now you can't walk. And the other one is a model.
My goodness.
He was a child model. So three of my sons have been children from toddlers. They were models. I used to be with a very reputable modeling industry, Absolute Models, Danny Mudlier. He's been a big part of my journey. And the boys modeled for him. And then Clarad stopped walking at 13, almost 14. It took him a while. And he would be on the roller skate, on the skateboard, because he didn't want to be on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And it was seeing my sons at being teenagers and not being able to walk.
Yeah.
But their older brother, Laron, on the other hand, allowed them to live their best life, allowed them to dream and visualize what they could be. He took them everywhere. He had to grow up very quickly because I'm a single parent. He's the eldest child. Mm-hmm. And he's only between Tehran and Laron, there's 2 years apart. Between Clavard and Tehran, there's 1 year apart.
Yeah.
So the two younger boys are a year apart. The older one was 3 years, almost 3 years older than the younger son.
Yeah.
And here he is taking care of that.
So tell me, as we wrap it up, your message to families over the festive season that have lost loved ones that are going to navigate their first festive without, what do you say to them?
You know, it's still so painful for me. It's so rough. You know, when I look, it's so raw because I look at, you know, and I search myself. This is going to be my second Christmas without Clarad, and my sixth Christmas without Tehran. And God knows the pain I endure every day. You know, I have lived a selfless life in that I have taken care of my kids first. They were my first priorities. And my children were Christmas people and they loved Christmas. And I could never be in Durban, knowing that I'm not going to be with Clarad, knowing that I'll never see Clarad again. You know, losing a loved one is very difficult, but losing a child and having seen your son deteriorate the way I have seen, you know, I would go home and think, is today going to be the last day I see my children? So what is my message to people? My message is divorce your adversity, divorce anything that you go through. Try and live your best unlived life. But also the pain is always going to be there. The lies and the deception out there is that it'll, you know, the pain will go away. It never goes away, especially the loss of a child. You can replace a husband, you can replace a wife, but you can never replace your child.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. Claudette Segamani, we appreciate you for your time, and I can hear the passion in your voice. And I'm sending you lots of love over the festive season, that, you know, you find light, you find happiness, and you find joy. And thank you for being so vulnerable with us. I can see you literally breaking down. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
For being so amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
That's Claudette Segamani, everybody. Her story impactful. It's beautiful. And I really do wish you, who's listening, who may have lost someone, a really special, special festive.
Carol O'Forey, weekdays 9 a.m. till 12, East Coast Radio.